Greg is here. I don't know where he went, so we're going to start because it's time. Good afternoon, everyone. We ready? Welcome to the June 5th, 2024 committee meeting of law enforcement and public safety. Rise for the pledge. Bean, would you lead us tonight?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
No.
Chair Hansett? Present. Deputy Chair Hewitt?
Here.
Legislator Maloney?
Here.
Legislator McCullough? And Legislator Walz?
Here.
Okay, very good. We have a quorum. So can I get approval of the May 1st, 2024 meeting minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second?
Second it.
All right. Any questions on that? I guess I should have said that first, but that's okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the minutes are approved. We're going to take one resolution out of order, resolution 324. We're going to do first. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Division of Criminal Services Department of Probation. If you'd like to speak,
sure. So this is just our yearly raise the age contract, and you know the state is a little bit behind. So this is actually from April 2023 to ending March 31st of 2024. So it's just doing the contract, and then we'll go back and bill.
Any discussion? Please note that Legislator McCullough is present. Okay, so if there's no discussion or questions, motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make a motion.
Second? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Thank you, Valerie. All right, so now we're going to go back with the first one, which is resolution number 221, supporting Northern Dutchess Paramedics application for a certificate of need to provide ambulance service to Ulster County. Discussion or questions? Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Chair Hansett. This is resolution I prepared. The town of Ulster and the county, as we all know, have an ambulance crisis. And the town of Ulster was approached by NDP paramedics to see if we would support a certificate of need so they can provide ambulance services to northern eastern Ulster County. And I felt this is really a matter of countywide interest. It's not just affect the town of Ulster, it affects Socrates, town of Kingston, Hurley. So I prepared this resolution along with co-sponsored by all the legislators in the town of Ulster, Legislator Donaldson and Legislator Kitchen. I would note NDP paramedics are here tonight with a representative, and if they would like to comment, Chair Hansett, I would appreciate it if they could have the floor. But this is it's not a long-term solution. It's not a permanent solution to our crisis. This is a short-term, something that we can do on a short-term basis to show our constituents that we are trying to get more EMS services to our county residents and everyone that passes through Ulster County.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I could speak on this.
Okay.
So I would just like to point out that Northern Dutchess Paramedic has approached not only the town of Ulster, but also other entities to supply a letter of support for their CON, which is common amongst all commercial agencies that would like to provide services within the county. Currently, we have two commercial agencies within Ulster County that do have countywide CONs. We have EFRIS, which holds two CONs, the second they acquired when they purchased mobile life support, and ambulance holds the third and only provides services within the town of Marlboro. You know, I understand, you know, the want to do that. It'd be my professional opinion that the county stay neutral on supplying, on writing a letter of support or passing a resolution. We know that we have a serious issue in EMS that needs to be addressed. The report says so, data from years before the report has said so. But one of the things that we could do based off of the report is have a countywide CON, Ulster County, and we may end up going out to bid for a commercial agency to provide these services. That is one option. Now the county passes a resolution in favor of one specific commercial agency, it looks like you're in favor of them. Additionally, Northern Dutchess Paramedic can, right now, upon called upon for mutual aid, provide services within Ulster County. They do that today. The data that we have in regards to their providing mutual aid upon requested is not great data, but at the same time, although they're providing it, you know, 60% of the time, at this point in the stages of EMS, like, you have to pay to have services. The town of Saugerties has an tremendous EMS response, okay? Probably one of the best in Ulster County. They pay for it, you know? And other townships are gonna have to pay for it. The town of Lloyd, they were in a predicament with Empress. Empress wanted to charge them a lot of money. What they did was they went out and they got a municipal CON, and now they hired New Paltz Rescue. New Paltz Rescue has been trying to get a countywide CON for years, and they haven't been able to get it. Now we got its county a municipal CON, and they can contract. If a township wants to contract specifically with any commercial agency that doesn't have a countywide CON, they can get it, apply for a CON. They'll have it within 30 to 45 days. You know, I understand that the town of Ulster is in serious need. They do not have a contract with Empress. Empress has been providing the services within the town at no charge to the township. You know, their call volume isn't great, but it's, we're at a day and age where you pay to play, it's called, in EMS. I also brought along with me Michael Beninati. Michael Beninati is a dispatcher with us part-time, but he's been in EMS for many, many years. He has just retired from the LaGrange Fire Department. He was the EMS administrator. He was one of the founders of New Paltz Rescue. He's also one of the ones that sat on the task force when we implemented E911 in 1994. Knows EMS well, and, you know, if there's specific questions we would like to ask of him, I would, you know, we could ask him. I also brought a paper. He sits on the State EMS Sustainability Technical Advisory Group. He was appointed by the governor, and I'll pass this around to everyone. This is a summary of a 150-page document. But it really talks about EMS and the issues that we have and how to address them. I have more copies here if they're needed. But, you know, looking at the data in Ulster County handles a total of 23,330 calls. Currently, that was in 2023. 6% of those calls, we were unable to assemble a crew, and that's countywide. An agency was able to assemble a crew for those calls. 2024, to date, we've handled 10,314 calls, and we've been unable to answer 498 calls, able to answer a crew. I don't think, you know, I'm not against NDP having a countywide CON, and I'm not for it. I think that the county should stay impartial for it. I think that it could hurt us down the road. Again, one of our options is to go out to bid the contract with a commercial agency when we try to fix the EMS system. And if that's the option we go with, and then we just supported one commercial agency over another.
Who approves or says no for a
New York State. It's the state's Department of Health.
Ultimately, you're looking to send this off to the state?
Correct.
To influence approval? Just, I was surprised. You mentioned Saugerties. I was surprised because I was under the impression we were in pretty good shape in Saugerties with Diaz.
We are.
So I'm surprised to hear Saugerties. I just texted our supervisor saying, oh, do you know anything? He hasn't texted me back yet. Do you know anything about maybe having, you know, Northern Dutchess paramedics have a presence in Saugerties? Because it wasn't anything I heard about or even had a need for. But
Diaz has great response. Diaz supplies an ambulance often to the town of Ulster, mutual aid.
Yeah.
Is that fair to the residents of Saugerties that are now paying, you know, to supply the state? If it's mutual, it's one thing, but this isn't mutual. It hasn't become, it's no longer mutual because we can't supply up to the town of Saugerties. You know, we need to fix these gaps. You know, town of Saugerties, I think the budget is like $2.7 million. They have three ALS agencies during the day, and I think it was a two at night. They pay for the service. They pay a lot of money for the service. But you're getting an ambulance, and that's what
we raise a lot of private money there too. It's the town puts up a lot, but there's a couple of business owners that do quite a bit Saugerties for that. But I don't know. So how did Saugerties end up being named as part of where this company would be doing providing services?
I just listed. Peter's town is in northern Ulster County, close to the Mount Clifford. I wasn't speaking to the town of Saugerties.
Any other discussion or questions?
You know, on one hand, I mean, I agree kind of with what I'm hearing, and it always makes me a little uncomfortable when you lean out there kind of quickly for one organization. You're in the first response, but it's still a business that we've been kind of doing stuff for that we haven't done that I know of for any of these other organizations. I don't know why they would need our help in an influential letter. On the other hand, I think a lot of us are frustrated. It's not been my thing. I'm a layman when it comes to a lot of this, and I'm trying to learn more. I talked to Mike the other day, so you know, there are other people that have been really involved that know a lot more about this. But I think there's a lot of people that are frustrated with the lack of movement on this, especially when the amount of sitting money we have and how where we choose to go throw that money around, where we chose to attack this problem between ARPA and all the excess funds we have in fund balance. I feel like there's probably a lot more the county could have done up to this point. We put this commission together. We don't always hear a lot about it. I don't know if they've always gotten together even when they were supposed to, or if it's going dormant, that commission. Where was the report? All of a sudden the report appeared after not appearing for a while. So on one hand, I appreciate something trying to be done. On the other hand, I don't know if it's, I think it may not be even part of the answer necessarily.
Commissioner Wells.
Legislative Kovacs, based on what the director said, does it offer any additional information in your thought process?
I don't think this is going to hurt the county at all. If the county decides 6 months from now, a year from now, to go out to bid. We're not bound by, we're not signing a contract with NDP. We're just sending a letter to the state health department stating that we have no objection. We'd like to see a certificate of need being issued, but we're not bound by that. We can go another direction 6 months from now, a year from now, next month.
Thank you.
So again, I would like to state that there's two commercial agencies in the county that have CONs that don't have contracts with multiple municipalities. They have the CONs. Additionally, you can contract with any agency you like in any township if the township would want to pursue a CON. And that's called a muni CON, and it takes 30 to 45 days. Our department just helped the town of Lloyd pursue that avenue because they received two bids, one from Empress, and one from New Paltz Rescue, and with a significant difference in cost, and they wanted to go with the lower cost, so we helped them pursue that. You know, so if any agency, if Northern Dutchess wants to work in Ulster County outside of us calling them mutual aid, and like I said, they respond to 60% of the calls that we call them for today. They respond to 60% of them. And they do that with goodwill on their end. They take an ambulance that they have over in Dutchess County and they send it over here. But if any township in the county wants to pursue a contract with them, they could pursue a municipal CON and they would obtain it.
So, Legislator Kovacs, have you considered that for Town of Ulster?
The Town of Ulster Town Board is looking at all different ways to provide EMS services, so it's certainly one option, but they have not made any final decision.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Legislator Maloney, you had your hand up previously.
I just had a question. Why would the state turn anyone down?
So I think if you're okay, I would like to ask that Michael answer that. He's better.
Okay.
Michael Beninati. So as Everett has indicated, I've actually been in the EMS for several years. Most recently, and over the last 3 years, much of my effort has been working at the state level to solve the CMS crisis that we have in New York State. Just a point of clarification, the document that you have was a document that is written by the New York State Emergency Medical Services Organization and Council as a tag. I also do currently sit on the New York State Rural Ambulance Services Task Force, and the reason that that's important to have the separation is that report came out in February of 23. Our report actually has been completed. It currently sits at the Department of Health for approval. We expect that out within the next month, and that is a legislatively created task force by the New York State Legislature, and will carry significant impact. Over the last several months, we've been working with the Senate and the Assembly, and in fact, just 2 days ago, we got some significant legislation passed at the state level. So you say, why is this taking so long? It takes long because they're lengthy processes. These are active pieces that are ongoing, very complex, right? Very these same kind of discussions. And
I was even speaking more to the county's response.
So actually I sat as an ex officio member on that group simply because I represented the state at the state level on that. And so again, just it takes time to do that. We all know that we've had a challenge. The opportunity is to appropriate the document. So one of the challenges to answer the specific question with regards to CON is when you have multiple ambulance services that have an operating certificate, it dilutes the pool, to say. So for many years here in the city of Kingston, we operated with two commercial providers, Hudson Valley Ambulance and Mobile Life Support. And what happened at that point is because they came in and didn't charge anything to come in. They didn't have contracts, they just came and set up shop. There was not enough work to keep both agencies financially stable. And as the years have gone on, we have done away with those. Mobile Life went out first and withdrew and pulled out. Then Mobile Life came back and then Hudson Valley had to pull out. And now we've seen that Mobile Life needed to leave because they couldn't financially stay here any longer, and they got bought by Empress. There's not enough financial support for commercial providers to stay in the business any longer without somebody covering the cost of readiness. And so having multiple ambulance services cover geographic areas causes a number of operational challenges to stay financially sound. So, and here's a perfect example of that. Recently, the city of Kingston began operating an advanced life support ambulance service. Since they began that operation, Empress has pulled back from having additional ambulances in this area because they're not making money. Wheels aren't turning, so therefore they're not having patient contacts and making enough money to be in that business. And so So that's the challenge. You bring another commercial provider in, and it makes that even worse. And so because now you've got the same people competing for that limited work, and it's not financially stable because no one's paying for the cost of readiness. And Everett said it a little while ago, a lot of the challenges are is that, you know, EMS has done this stuff for free for so many years, and they can no longer sustain themselves. And so it's not sustainable. So somebody's got to pay for that cost of readiness. And so his example in the town of Lloyd is one such of that in the village of Sartre. Marbletown recently started, the town of Marbletown started paying, you know, a small amount to their local ambulance service to start. But somebody's got to pay for that cost of readiness. And unless that's there, it's tough for somebody to come in and set up shop. And there are lots of opportunities for mutual aid use these days. And that's why we do use NDP, and we do use Marbletown, we do use, you know, all the other agencies to help us out.
I can show just in the Ulster Hose Fire District in 2023, Empress handled a portion of the calls, Ambulance, Diaz, Ellendale, Esopus, Hurley, Scranton, Accord, New Paltz Rescue, Shondham, West Hurley, Northern Dutchess, and we had Medevacs as well. A lot of agencies have been going in and providing the aid to the town of Ulster, to the Ulster Hose Fire District. This isn't a sole issue in the town of Ulster. This is really anywhere that doesn't have a signed EMS agency.
Legislative Walsh.
I just wanted to ask if the executive's office had any input on this.
I think we're supportive of Everett's approach here. Again, from a county perspective, supporting one commercial agency across the board really isn't the approach we would like to see or like to take. And we would remain in that.
Senator Maloney?
How many organizations, just two in all of Ulster County, have a DON?
CON. Yes.
A CON.
Certificate of DON. Yep.
How many does, I always like to look at other counties, I was just talking to somebody from the D's office yesterday about it. How many does Orange and how many does Dutchess have, just as an example?
So Orange has countywide, they have ambulance operates down there. The Empress now has, the Empress Mobile Life has a county CON, and I believe that is it at the county level. In Dutchess County.
So all of Orange only has one organization, they have two organizations.
Ambulance and Empress, similar
that's county. That's countywide.
Countywide.
So each like the end has a CON for the town of Sartre.
Sartre. And then the towns can do those other things, but as far as the state giving the permission and not going the municipal way that you described.
So basically, and just so you have a good understanding of how that works, is DS can respond anywhere in the town of Sartre. Empress can respond anywhere in the town of Sartre. Ambulance can respond anywhere in the town of Sartre. If we needed to call Hurley, they could not go into the town of Sartre unless it was mutual aid. They can't answer that first call. But that's how that works.
So what about Dutchess?
So Dutchess, Northern Dutchess doesn't even have a countywide in Dutchess. They can correct me, but they have north of Route 44 and cover the northern part of Dutchess. Empress has a countywide in Dutchess, and they are the only countywide provider in Dutchess.
So if we went to three, I mean, I think that's what this discussion should be. If we were going to send off a letter, I think it would be more appropriate for us to send off a letter saying, hey, state, we'd like to see you give a third CON. But if I'm comparing to counties, you know, north and south of us that are larger than us, that have populations bigger than ours, that have every bit the rural and say all the same challenges, and they don't even have two, then maybe we don't need a third. What you're saying is it would create some problems. I mean, what you said before, where there was competition between two in the one town and one was significantly less, you also run into the other side of it, which is what I'm sure is part of the motivation here. When you only have two companies forever, both of them could get somewhat inefficient, and like every company does, private and public, to a point where competition makes things better, but it's so hard. I don't know enough to be comfortable going forward at this point, sending off a letter, especially just on behalf of one organization.
And in fact, for several years, when we had two active companies, Mobilize and Hudson Valley, we actually used to rotate them. So one month would be on city rotation, while the other one would be on county rotation, to try to financially balance out the claw volume, because again, they don't make money if the wheels aren't turning. And so we used to have to balance that. And again, that, then you get the city and it's quieter than the county, and so you lose money that month.
Deputy Chair Hewitt, was next.
Thank you. I'd like to ask the representative from Northern Dutchess Paramedics, if you're already covering parts of Ulster now, why is this request coming out now?
So, well, the answer kind of, there's a couple of tangents to your answer. So we are only able to cover the town of Ulster under mutual aid. So basically when that means when the primary ambulance that covers any given municipality or provide paramedic service to that municipality, because there's two levels of service that are provided in each municipality, sometimes by the same provider, but you have ALS and BLS that are provided in each municipality. Because we're not able to, because we currently don't have a CLM for Ulster County, our response all comes from Dutchess County, which is where we're based, and that causes increased response times. One of the issues, you know, to Everett's point where he talked about, you know, municipal CONs and doing this town by town, one of the issues that we run into doing municipal CONs is one of the ways we offset expense to the town is by billing insurance companies. And everybody in this room who has insurance is paying insurance premiums that are the same whether your ambulance service provider is covered by your tax base or your insurance is covered through your insurance. In New York State, only the provider of transportation, which is the license holder for that license, can bill for service. So if we were to get, for example, a town of Ulster municipal CON, the town of Ulster would have to be involved in the billing arrangements because they would be the license holder and NDP is a subcontractor to town of Ulster. So we had initially in Dutchess County, we started with the town of Dover, and this is where we had issues, you know, and then we applied for an expansion so that our license covered the town of Dover, so we didn't have to involve the town in the municipal, you know, billing arrangements. This is not a permission slip for NDP to come in and take over Ulster County or do anything that the individual municipalities don't want NDP to do. The municipalities, New York State is a home rule state, so the municipalities decide who provides the service and what level of service in that town. So if the town of Ulster, and it could be any other municipality within the county, feels like they need help, it gives them the opportunity to reach out to NDP, and it gives NDP the opportunity to help where we can. It's not a guarantee, we can come in and just set up. I mean, yes, we can set up shop there, but to Mike's point, if you're not the provider of service in that community, there's no revenue to be generated there, and it becomes then pointless to have an ambulance sitting there that's not doing anything. You know, one of the reasons that more Ulster County, Orange County, and when you go down further, Rockland, Sullivan, the city is a little bit different. One of the fewer agencies is because they're urban areas and there's volume, so it makes it profitable for those ambulances to do that, and those ambulances want to be there. NDP got started in Northern Dutchess County because the commercial services, the Mobilize, the Alamo, the services that were here at that point had no interest in Northern Dutchess County because it's rural, much like Northern Ulster County and Western Ulster County. That's where we got involved in this process because we don't have to answer at this point. We're not answering to stockholders and investors. Our focus is on providing the rural EMS service that we've done in Dutchess County. We do it through a variety of different arrangements, whether it be there are towns in Dutchess County who have chosen to contract with NDP for first to ambulance service, and then it's very much like the Diaz arrangement. We're there 100% of the time when for that first call in the district, and then it's provided with backfill and then mutual aid beyond that. There are other towns who have volunteer ambulances that still run, and NDP provides paramedic level service to them. Most of them are done under a handshake agreement, so that's an as available arrangement. But the towns that have opted to formalize an arrangement, then NDP provides the coverage. But all of what we do is rural, and that's where the challenge comes in for sometimes bigger entities, because Mike's point, the revenue's not there. The investors aren't interested in rural parts of the state. They want the money that comes from urban EMS.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I got one last quick question.
Yeah.
Was it a year, was it 2023, where there was 498 calls not answered or received?
No, that's year to date. So year to date,
that's this year.
Year to date, we've dispatched 10,314 calls in Ulster County.
Yep.
498 of them have the primary agency for that call was unable to assemble a crew. We had to go meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Last year, 2023, is 23,330, and 1,408 of them. The primary agency was unable to assemble a crew.
Would, if this influenced the state to approve the CON, would any of those 500 calls have been answered quicker or be in better situation if Northern Dutchess?
Yeah, it would be pure speculation, because they would have to either pay, a township would have to pay for readiness, or Northern Dutchess would have to be willing to put an ambulance up here. Example, ambulance has a countywide CON. They could put an ambulance in the town of Ulster. We could dispatch them. They don't do it because they're not being paid for readiness. I can't speak for what Northern Dutchess will do. That's, that's a business decision on their part.
Legislator Kovacs, would you agree to a one-month postponement on this? I don't think that we have everything that we need. I don't know how my other committee members feel on this. And maybe we can meet prior next month, prior to our regular meeting, maybe an hour before, to sit down and have a roundtable about it and bring more information. And perhaps instead of doing this for just specific towns, we can look at it countywide.
Well, this is not specific to the town of Ulster. This is a countywide statement. I would say I don't know what information you're looking for, Chair. I would request a vote up or down.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. We're going to do a long roll.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Maloney?
No.
McCullough?
No.
Walsh?
Yes.
Hanson?
No.
Got four in favor and one.
I'll vote two. It's my turn again. The reason I asked my question is I want to make sure the Legislator Kovacs' legislative intent moves forward, but I have to vote no right now.
Four in favor and one. Sorry. Four opposed and one. What is it?
What's it?
It was four noes.
Yes.
And one yes.
Oh, Jason's not on it.
Right.
Sorry.
Thank you.
I'm
done
too.
Okay. So the motion is defeated. I thank you for your work on this, and I think it's a discussion that we definitely have to continue to have. I don't remember who else was up in NYSAC when we went up, and this was a huge concern. We know that it's being discussed in the state, and I thank you for bringing it forward. Everyone's attention is definitely on it. It is a crisis that we need to just keep at the forefront. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank Mr. Beninati for helping us understand the cost of readiness. Thank you.
And thank you also, gentlemen, for coming tonight. So
thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
If you have a question with that document, if you can Google and get the entire paper, just Google NYS EMS white paper, and you can get the entire document. And as soon as the Rural Ambulance Services Task Force report is completed, I will ensure that Everett gets it to get it to you.
Okay. Thank you. So now we are on resolution number 272. Adopting and issuing a NAGDEC under 6 NYCRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQR, by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a public safety radio tower and apparatus to be located at Pitcairn Estates Mountain Road, Town of Olive, New York, Department of Emergency Services. Director Erickson?
Yeah, so this is on Tanchi Mountain in Olive. We currently do have a tower there that is 40 feet too short. It's about 30-something years old, I think, is when it was 30 years ago it was built. A part of the new radio system, we need to add 40 foot. We did a structural testing feasibility study on the current tower. It will not support the additional 40 feet with the equipment. So we're building another tower adjacent to this tower, and we'll decommission this tower here. And this is, yeah, so this right here is no declaration, no environmental concerns on.
Thank you.
I'll make the motion to move it forward.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution is carried. Resolution number 319, amending capital project 607, Government Operations Center, amending the 2024 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works. So just bear with me. So as far as this resolution, so we have to make a motion to amend the resolution as presented. So what it is just we're amending the funding source from ARPA to the GOC reserve.
And
so
that's already reflected, Janet, in the current draft.
Yes. So any discussion or questions? All right. We still have to vote to amend, or we don't?
I don't think so, because it was amended
prior.
Okay. Yeah, there's no amendment on the floor. They have included the amendment prior.
All right.
As presented.
So I need to make the motion to amend the resolution as presented. Correct.
I'll second.
First.
Can we just get a first one?
I will.
On the overall.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
What was that, Joe?
Yep.
So Everett can take off.
I think Dennis was going to.
And Dennis is going to discuss it. So this is the capital project amendment for the design phase. We're getting ready to go out to bid on this project. We will be doing a larger presentation. We're working with Legislator Hansen on getting a larger presentation together to bring the design team back in. Anything else? Legislator Maloney.
What were the main changes?
So, if I may, Chair.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
So the main things is we had a couple things happen. One is that we had an increase in the cost of the structure. So you have the section in an AIA contract that allows the architect to bill against an increase in cost based on the original work. The other thing is that we had this administration, new to the project, wanted to make sure that, and recognizing, I think, some of the frustration in the prior legislature's decision-making as it relates to finding a site for this, this administration wanted to make sure that all of the alternatives that were looked at again in some great deal of depth. In particular, they really wanted to take a really hard, in-depth look with design documents that said, why can't we build on Golden Hill? And so there were numerous dives into what that design would look like, what are the pros and cons of that work, what were the anticipated costs and what those cost differentials were as to whether or not it would make sense to essentially pivot from Paradise Lane.
Who did that work?
It was done by the same, by the consultants, and the construction manager did that work.
The same consultants?
Yeah, you know, it's yes. The short answer is yes. But what they went back through to do is to take a look on this, on the basis of saying, let's not choose the best site. Let's choose the site that works more than we thought it would before. So we weren't looking essentially to say, does it have all the bells and whistles that we were talking about in the original decision making, but can we make it work on the basis of the fact of money saved to the county versus the difficulties associated with building on that site, particularly with respect to flexibility and with respect to other things that we need. So that's the that's one of the second reason. Third reason was the length of time in the contracts of where we were in terms of the amount of work that was being done over a particular period of time. So those were the three basic reasons for the increase in cost. I would say this, that when you get all done and you look at the design costs, including construction inspection for this project, you're now a little over 10%. And if you think about where design costs are generally for these projects, they run more than 10%, and your construction inspection is added on top of that. So you have, when you're all done here, you're looking at a design cost that's a little over 10%.
How much did we pay them to do this extra work?
That's one of the reasons for the additional work that we're doing here. Some of that work will be billed out with respect to this.
How much?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to go back and look at the totals on that. But it's in the $70,000-$80,000.
If we were going to pay a firm to go back, and I'll remind everyone that the individual that owns the property, a person worked for him on a project on that property years ago that fell through because of environmental issues, works for the consultant that ended up recommending that property. Now we pay that same consultant more money to go say, yep, the first thing I told you was good. So if we were, hold on. If we were going to take a second look at this property and the other properties, and I'll remind everyone that they did a scoring matrix, and zero was bad, and four was good. And the environmental score for Paradise Lane, a brownfield, with not just pesticides, but tainted water that we don't even think we can use, and gas and oil, an old leaky gas station next door that they think may have been leaking out their property. You can't have a worse environmental situation. They gave it a 2. Had they given it a 0, Golden Hill would have scored higher on their original matrix. With conflicts with the individual we ended up buying the property from that wasn't even on the market, we then go, because we want to do our due diligence, and we hire that same firm. How about hiring a different firm to take a look at what the first firm told us? You can't even make this up. So,
and this is the first I'm hearing about.
So if I can.
So we can give this for more money.
If I can.
Unbelievable.
So if I can, one of the things that we did was to address those particular concerns that you just raised, was essentially to go back through and do additional due diligence work with respect to that. That's the reason we delayed in acquisition of the property, because we did additional due diligence work with the Department of Environmental Conservation relative to the contamination that was on the site. So we've done that additional due diligence. That's the first thing. The second thing is the firm that you're talking about, which you have described as having a conflict, was not that involved in terms of making the determination and relooking at the Golden Hill site. It was the design architects out of New York City. The firm that you believe has a conflict is a subconsultant to them. That subconsultant work is derived mainly on the energy efficiency portion of that, not the design portion of that. In addition, when we did that original work did not have all of the effort associated with the construction management firm.
So we have a substantial amount of effort with respect to the construction management firm that went into looking at the Golden Hill site to develop the necessary costing information that was associated with it. So what we tried to do, whether you agree with us or not, but what we tried to do was to address those precise concerns that you raised, and that and this administration was extremely concerned about those concerns, and that's why that work got done. In addition, all of those other factors that I've talked about come into that final design document and the final design number. And then finally, the last thing I would remind everybody is you're well within a standard in terms of design costs at the end of this process.
Quick retort.
He was
okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I think Legislator Maloney has a great point about self-serving architects and engineers in general. I'm not saying that that's what's happening, but I'm wondering who has our best interests in mind while the project is happening with such a costly project, and something like the bomb-proof cement throughout the building. Who asks, is that the best choice for expensive bomb-proof cement?
So one of the things that we're doing is we've heard the legislature loud and clear with respect to the idea of value engineering. And so part of this design fees are also looked at value engineering mm-hmm. to reduce costs. And that value engineering costs money. So we're looking at things that we can change with respect to the building as it relates to value engineering. Some of those may have to do with the electrical components. It's a very sophisticated electrical building. Some of them may have to do with other things that we're talking about as it relates to the design of the building itself. We are still in that process, and that part of this money will go to that process to try to see where we can develop and change the cost associated with it. The other thing, when we look at what components of the building we use, as Everett will tell you, there are design guidelines out here at the national level which we're trying to follow.
Thank you.
Legislator Maloney?
Now I'm hearing, I mean, I never heard anything about holding up the purchase. Now we've held up the purchase, even though in the original capital plan from, I remember pointing it out a year or more ago, that it was originally at 2024 that we were going to purchase, which I thought was bizarre that we were waiting that long. Now I'm hearing, no, we would have purchased earlier. Seems we knew we weren't purchasing till later. But you're guessing $70,000, which is over the $50,000 threshold, but you're going to tell me you don't have to come to the legislature to get approval.
That's what we're here for.
This is the contract amendment. That's what's presented here.
But they've already done the work. Well, yeah. What the hell is that? What if we say no?
You're supposed
to come to us before you go and do the work.
Portion of it
is. We should be having this. Is anyone else surprised by that? We're paying for something. We're approving something that we may not have approved. Do you know what would have happened if
they
you came to us early? I would have given the same spiel. Hold on a second.
Work.
I would have given the same spiel I just gave, and I would have tried to get my colleagues to go, no, I'd like to go to have a different independent firm. But now we're not able to do that, are we? We're not able to get an independent firm to go look at exactly what you just said. We've wasted all this time. Have the same firm go in and say, yep, you just give me $70,000 and I'm going to say I did a good job the first time. Let's all.
It's site selection. It's not design work. It's site selection work. And site selection work, with respect to the architects that were involved here, went back to look at the costing associated, particularly as it relates to bringing in an independent construction manager, which looked at the costs associated with it.
You just told me that we literally put off the purchase of the property because we wanted to make sure Golden Hill and other locations, specifically Golden Hill, wouldn't be an even better, all things considered, I'm paraphrasing, location than Paradise Lane. Why would you have not come to us before having the same firm do it? Now you're asking us to pay this firm.
So I think I didn't say that was the only reason we put off the purchase. I think I also said that what we were also doing here was a substantial amount of additional due diligence with respect to Paradise Lane before we acquired the property. I think you would also note that one of the things that we did do with respect to acquiring the property is we renegotiated that purchase price with respect to the owner.
Yeah. We've still got ripped off, but we saved $700,000, I believe, after a couple of us demanded another appraisal and some other things. But I just can't get past the fact that you didn't tell us any of this was going on, and you didn't come to us before having the firm do the work, and now you're asking us to pay it. What is the point of our existence? Why do we have legislators? By the way, a lot of this bleeds into policy, how you do something. You are day-to-day operations. Most of this is not day-to-day operations. These are the future plans of the county. We have a legislature that's supposed to be very involved in that. It's just over and over again. I honestly don't know how you go and do. Why is there a legislature if we're here to approve and to fund appropriate, if we're fund appropriating after the fact? We're not fund appropriating. We can't say no. I mean, I will, but nobody else will, and you know that. So we've done all this that we should have been involved with. And many of us, I think, would have demanded a separate, a different independent firm to do all of what you just described. And that firm may have come back, and we may be going towards Golden Hill because of it. But that was never going to happen using this firm. And now after the fact. This can't happen. How often do you do that? How often do you go and have a firm do work and then come to us and ask to pay them? How often does that happen?
So I want to go back to the fact that it was the construction manager, and we were trying to make sure that when we looked at costing, that the costs associated with Golden Hill were not significantly different or less than the costs associated with Paradise Lane. So it wasn't the architectural firm that was doing a lot of this work. It was literally the work that was being done through both the architectural firm looking at how the designs work into the Golden Hill. We're actually trying to look to see whether or not we could reuse the mental health building on Golden Hill, and what that would mean in terms of making the project work.
So you that have was, all that. Is that all in the backup? What they gave you, their
that
process.
That was the original work that we done on site selection. If you recall, when we did site selection, one of the things that we looked at as an alternative was repurposing of the Golden Hill building.
I remember. And if
so, what we tried to do is go back and say,
at Paradise Lane, Golden Hill.
What we tried to do is go back and say, if we look at what that repurposing looks like, right, and all of the costs associated with it, and we take the same level of a similar level of detail that we did in terms of the cost of building on Paradise Lane, and look what it takes to repurpose that building and what the costing were. So we had designs, we didn't have detailed costs. We had estimated costs at a square footage level. We move them into a different degree of detail. But I go back to tell you that was not done by the firm that you believe may have a conflict of interest. That was done associated with the architect in terms of what the designs were for Golden Hill, looking at the additional costs that we would have to incur in terms of things that we'd have to do offsite because of our proximity to other locations on Golden Hill. And then looking at the construction manager in terms of what those costs would be.
So you now admit that the original decisions that were made, the firm that I'm speaking to that would have worked for Mr. Turk, the owner of the thing, had a lot to do with the original, but now doesn't with this.
Okay. I think we could just keep going back and forth on this.
What happens if we say no? Oh, and before we go any further, can we get what they've done, the work we've done? That's what I'm asking. It's not often I can vote yes or no. I can vote on something and actually see what they've done before I vote to have them do it.
Well,
that's nice.
Some of the work, well, I would say an overwhelming majority of the work that you're being asked to pay for is not done. So that's new work. The only piece of work here that you have is a small portion of it as it relates to the work to solidify a decision relative to this administration's satisfaction, a decision relative to Golden Hill versus Paradise Lane. So you can't get the work that's not done, but you can see what the work that they did on Golden Hill.
But if it's not done, then what did we schedule? Did we close yet?
There's two different things going on here.
Yeah,
you're talking about a design work versus an acquisition of the property.
Did we set a closing date yet?
We closed. We own the property.
So we start out by talking about we actually held up until we get all this information. Now we're being told, well, we got a little bit of it. You can have that. But we just didn't.
I think you're misunderstanding.
If we don't.
In all due respect, Legislator Maloney, I think you're misunderstanding the design.
I'm the one that saved the $700,000, okay? I know this project pretty well. And I've heard what you said, and I've understood what you said.
I don't think you understand what's being placed in front of you. if I put it that way, does that make you more comfortable? But being placed in front of you.
I'm a pretty smart guy, and you've talked a lot. I guess I still don't understand what is being placed in front of us. Please explain again so I can understand it. Last time I asked a lot of questions, I saved us $700,000. Maybe I'll do it again. Do we want to explain again what it exactly is? Or maybe somebody else that understands what Dennis just said can explain it to me. Chris, can you explain what we're voting on?
It is difficult, but by the math, it looks like we're setting aside $500,000 for additional services and about $70,000 for what's been done already.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming out of the GOC reserve that's already put aside.
Mm-hmm. But I agree with you that it's not normal to be approving something that's been done already.
And what they did do so far is they've done how much work, like money-wise, how much is already done, $70,000?
So the original design contract was $1 million and change. So they're running through that design contract right now, right? And they need the additional money to finish the design contract for all of those reasons I just gave.
And everything that they've done thus far is in the backup. If I get
well, you've seen the drawings for the 90%. You've seen 30% drawings. You've seen 60% drawings. We're in page turning right now. So for those drawings, so those are not in the backup because they're not pertinent to the resolution. The resolution that those drawings and funding was already approved.
But there's adding on to that. So why?
Correct.
How is me looking as a legislator what they've done so far?
I don't have an issue with that.
What they're going to do, I would assume that would be put into the backup, and that's something I could get on tonight.
I don't have an issue with that. You asked what was in the backup. The backup is to support the resolution, not to support something that was already done. If you want to see those design drawings.
It's the same company expanding on what they've already done. What company, what board of directors would ever not want to see what the company's done thus far before we approve more money going to that company to expand on what they've done?
It's available.
Or will be made available. I can't get on. I can't get in.
Well, if it's not there's about 140 pages of design documents. So the making them available to legislators is a real challenge because of the size of the files. But certainly a print plan available for you to page through, not a problem.
Pages. How much would it affect the project to take no action on this month?
We see the project is now running behind schedule, significantly behind schedule. Every time you delay the project, you incur additional costs for inflation. Mm-hmm. Inflation is running somewhere between 4-8%.
And we're also trying to get to the point of getting bids specced out. So this is, again, that final leg of the design work to get to bids.
Thanks.
We're currently on.
Yeah, we've been on hold.
We're on hold.
Yeah, we've been on hold for months. Yeah.
So our plan is to, I think we haven't definitely set a time, but I think it's going to be prior to our next session, is to have a presentation for everyone and more also for the new legislators, but for everybody, to bring everybody up to speed. So. Okay, I'd like to make a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
As presented.
I thought I already did that one.
I'll make the motion.
What was the second
one? Second.
I'll second.
Okay, and now do it as amended. You too.
Yes.
A motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
I'll make the motion to adopt it as amended.
Second.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed. And I think tonight, the OneDrive could probably handle 100.
Can I see something?
The vote's over, correct?
Yeah.
You got everybody. Okay. Motion is carried. Yes.
I voted yes because people work, they need to be paid. But I don't want to set the wrong precedence for other people getting work done and getting paid. People work, they need to be paid going forward.
Please, everybody, just bring your concerns, your questions, your ideas to session also. Okay, resolution 320, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $571,650 entered into by the County Urban Architects Department of Public Works. So this is the contract that goes along with this, the previous resolution. Discussion or questions? Legislator Hewitt?
I don't, I'm trying to think of how to ask it. Is this a different architect than we've been working with already?
It's the same architect. They are a consulting team. Mm-hmm. So there are two architectural firms involved, or actually three in this instance. One is a architectural, actually four. One is an architectural firm doing design of the building. The other is an architectural firm that's primarily looking at the energy efficiency associated with the building. Other is an engineering firm which is looking at all of the site work and engineering that goes into the building itself, including the electrical components. And the fourth is an environmental firm which is looking at the work associated with the brownfields.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion or questions? Okay, a motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion is carried, 4-1. Thank you. Resolution 321. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $3,950, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County Tectonic Engineering Consultants, Geologists, and Land Surveyors Department of Emergency Services.
This is for Illinois Mountain in the town of Lloyd. You may recall the past resolution to do a feasibility study on that property that was conducted. It came back favorable. So now we're looking to amend the contract to do the FAA filing, the FAA survey, and the FCC filing for that site. We currently lease on we have two lease agreements on a tower there, and we're looking to build a actual public safety radio tower between us and Dutchess and New York State OIEC.
Okay, any discussion or questions? A motion to adopt the resolution?
I make it.
Second? All those in favor?
Who's second?
Aye.
Didn't you make the motion?
Sorry, I didn't.
I'll second.
Sorry.
So fast.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 322, approving the execution of a contract for $154,350 entered into by the County Tectonic Engineering Consultants, Geologists, and Land Surveyors Department of Emergency Services. So this is a different location, Director Erickson?
Correct. This is in the town of Rosendale. Feasibility was done for the contract. Came back favorable for this site, and we're looking to move into engineering and environmental work to build a tower in the town of Rosendale.
Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make the motion.
Hewitt. Second?
Second.
Walls. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 323, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2024, a local law to allow enrolled volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers to be eligible for a real property tax exemption under real property tax law 466A to be held on Tuesday, July 16th at 7:10 p.m.
So this is really a technical amendment. This doesn't impact the exemptions that these individuals already received. However, our local law is drafted so that Everett Erickson, Director of Emergency Services, was certifying that everybody was eligible to receive this tax credit. That's really not feasible in a county of our size with the volunteer populations that we have. So this is modeling after more of the state legislation that puts it back. I think Everett is on the
It puts it back. So
entity with authority.
Yeah. So currently, in most AHJs, they submit their certification for their members that they certify to the assessor's office, the local assessor's office. For the county exemption, the local AHJ needed to submit it to myself. I needed to submit it to Real Property, who then submitted it to the assessor. So we're cutting out the middleman that we cannot certify their participation. We don't have any authority over them, right? So it goes back to that local jurisdiction approving and, you know, certifying them and going right to the assessor directly and cutting out with it. It's just an email to us with a letter to the Real Property back down to the assessor.
And it should improve the efficiency of the tax credit.
Okay. Any discussion or questions? This one makes sense. Motion to adopt the resolution. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 324. Oh, we did that one. I'm sorry. That's the one we took out of order. Resolution 325, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 8 of 2024, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster to establish the Department of Assigned Counsel, to be held on Tuesday, July 16th, 2024 at 7:15 p.m.
Where's the that place?
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. No.
So this is the assigned counsel. Currently, our assigned counsel is a division of finance. That made sense back when assigned counsel was simply processing vouchers. This is for attorneys who are defending cases where the public defender or the conflict center conflict is out. These cases go then to the assigned counsel. So assigned counsel, per ILS standards, needs to be independent and shouldn't be housed, frankly, within your finance department. It doesn't really make sense that way. ILS under Hurl-Herring, has a lot. Enhanced regulation surrounding assigned counsel. This will be setting the public hearing to do the local law to create the department. Looking through this is the best practices. We're also within the local law establishing an advisory board, which would assist the assigned counsel department in getting assigned counsel, doing best practices, some training components. So again, this is the best practice from ILS, and this is also something that we're required to do by the state to access Hurl-Herring funding for the assigned counsel.
Thank you. Any discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution.
What will be the salary implication? How many are we creating? Eventually, going to be creating a position or two.
So we already have the position. The position currently is being filled by a part-time individual, but this will be fully funded by the Hurl-Herring grant.
Yeah.
So it's not an increase in the position. This position actually is budgeted for a full-time position. The individual currently in that position has been doing it on a part-time basis for a number of years now.
And they're technically in finance?
They're technically in finance.
And then will soon be their department,
correct.
Basically?
Yeah. So to come back through for confirmation, similar to all other department heads.
Any other discussion or questions? Okay. Motion to adopt the resolution?
Yeah.
Make the motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 341, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for participation in the Crimes Against Revenue Program. District Attorney's Office?
Hi, everyone. This is an annual grant that we receive from the Division of Criminal Justice Services. It's already budgeted. We have one prosecutor who is responsible for oversight and prosecuting our Crimes Against Revenue program, so that's predominantly theft of DSS benefits, so things like SNAP, child daycare vouchers. I was an ADA that was assigned to the town of Ulster, and I did handle these types of cases, so we received state aid for it. It was budgeted. We received an offset to our salary as well as funding to contract with a forensic accounting firm for the purposes of investigations. It's on this cycle because that's when the state contract was approved.
Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried.
One quick question on it. Who do you call? What is our, are you guys satisfied with what we have online? Because I get questioned a lot. I mean, I'm talking to people a lot because I'm in retail, but about who do I call? How do I call when I get on? That's not something I've looked at, but I've heard people complain to me a lot about these kinds of things, and they know this is going on.
About the benefits fraud?
Yeah.
There is actually a hotline that I don't have at my fingertips. I'll follow up with you and provide that information to you. We have a DSS. There's actually an investigatory unit within DSS for those types of claims, and that is who should be called. I was advised that that does need some updating, I think, and we're going to work on that hopefully within the next week or so. But they should be calling the DSS investigations unit.
Okay. Because I remember somebody had asked me months ago, and I got on the county website, and I had a hard time figuring out who I would
call. I'm sure it was difficult to navigate, but we are trying to rectify that. You know, with our own revisions to the DA website within the county website, but I will absolutely provide that to you and fix that.
You could let me know when that happens, and then I will let my committee know. Thank you.
Do you know if it's in the booklet?
It's probably not in the booklet.
Okay. All right. Did we vote on that one?
Not yet.
Okay. Motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We did, though. That's okay. Motion's carried. Resolution 342, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute.
343. I just said 342.
No, I did not.
No, I think.
342?
Yeah, we just did it.
Okay. I made a motion for 341.
No, we're doing 343.
I did 342.
You did 342.
Mm-hmm. And he seconded, and we all seconded.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. You have that we did 342?
I was signing this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right after I made the motion, we all voted, and she gave me that.
Okay. Resolution number 343, authorizing the transfer of budgeted funds from the Department of Social Services to the Office of Ulster County District Attorney and amending the 2024 Ulster County budget and personnel listing to create investigator positions for the Ulster County Family Child Advocacy Center District Attorney. Would you like to speak on this, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I did take the opportunity to call through each of you, and then I met with the chair just prior to the meeting today. The Family Child Advocacy Center was created in 1994. It's a joint partnership between Department of Social Services and the District Attorney's Office, and it has oversight over CPS that's handled by DSS, and it also handles crimes against children. So that's the part that the DA handles. For many years, the way it worked was that our municipal law enforcement departments would provide police officers or detectives to the Family Child Advocacy Center, and they would receive training, and they would be assigned to the CAC for a year to 18 months. They would take that training, they would go back to their home departments, and they would be reimbursed on an annual rate of $75,000 per person. That did not cover or make whole the municipalities. It's something that I think that has come up before within the legislature, and over the past 2 years, especially with the shortage of law enforcement officers in our municipal departments, they don't have the capacity to donate someone without incurring additional costs like overtime. So for this year, in 2024, for the past 6 months, there have been two unfilled positions that relate to a contract that was budgeted for the Department of Social Services for this year. That is not to say we are not investigating crimes against children. I do not want that to be out there. We have assigned a DA investigator to the unit. some of our part-timers are picking up additional hours to make sure that we're still vigorously prosecuting and investigating those crimes. But what this resolution seeks to do is bring those positions within the DA's office. We would be using funds that have been already budgeted for this year to create two positions within the DA's office for full-time investigators. And that would allow us to fill those vacancies for the rest of this year. And then through the budget process, we would seek to have those investigators housed within the DA's office, at least for the time being. When I spoke to Legislator Maloney yesterday, he posed the question, what do we do, what do our neighboring counties do? In Dutchess County, so the answer to that is each county in New York seems to have its own way of doing things. In Dutchess County, it's a not-for-profit that contracts with the county, with Dutchess County. However, the person who oversees the law enforcement component of their CAC is a DA investigator who's housed there. In Orange County, it's similar where, I'm looking at what was just provided to me. It is also the law enforcement component is overseen by the DA's office, and it varies from county to county. There are some counties that it's a joint collaboration between a county and a DA's office. You had asked regarding the sheriff. There are some counties that have that model. Our model here under our enabling documents at the MOA, the original MOA here, it's between the DSS and the DA's office. And going to a neighboring state in New Jersey in 2017, just to have consistency for crimes against children, all of the CACs are housed within the prosecutor's offices in New Jersey. So that's kind of the model. The reason for a Family Child Advocacy Center is so that there's a one-stop shop for our child victims, so they don't have to be possibly re-traumatized, so that the DA, the healthcare providers, the medical providers, the counseling providers, and the crime victims advocates can be meeting with the child on one occasion rather than multiple occasions.
Yeah, and that's what I was asking. I remember I was the one that several years ago, because it was Saugerties that was one of the municipalities giving an officer, and it seemed to me the answers I was getting, we were paying the officer, when you take in fringe benefits and salary, we were losing money, and Sinagra made up stories, and it was a whole mess. But now, nobody would give me a straight answer then. It appeared to me that I was certain that Saugerties was getting screwed monetarily. But now that we want to go a different direction, and it helps the argument. You weren't here, so it wasn't you. It helps the argument. Now I was right, but it's 3 years too late, so that's nice. But we do have inside the sheriff's department, that was my first question, why wouldn't a sheriff, and I understand some of the points you're making, and that's why I was just wondering, how does Orange and Dutchess and some other counties similar to ours around us do it? And it sounds like the DA runs point for the most part. I would think that's something we would have looked to anyways when we were deciding to go another direction. We do have like a sex crimes unit. We do have a domestic unit inside the sheriff's department, correct?
We have one detective assigned to the CAC, and then the other detectives that are assigned to headquarters can kind of just do all the extra
Where
stuff.
Was Frank?
Frank was assigned there. Frank Gillespie.
Okay, I remember speaking to him a couple years ago about constituent.
That we have assigned there.
He was.
After 3 years as a detective.
So the sheriff. So how does that work logistically? So you worked with the DA, but it was still overseen by the DA.
When I started, the lead senior investigator was a senior investigator from the state police. So it was Jim McCoy, who's still there today as a DA investigator. But she's right. Like, it's a one-stop shop.
Yep.
So the general police officer, deputy sheriff on the road shouldn't be doing these types of interviews if you're not forensically trained to interview children. So ultimately, those referrals are made from other police departments to the CAC, either through the law enforcement referral system through New York State, or just by us taking a seven-digit call to our agency, and then we'll refer our particular crime, sex crime, domestic violence, severe domestic violence call to the CAC. But it's an amazing organization that the DA's office runs. The framework works, and we're essentially not victimizing the victim more than one time.
And I will say, from my personal experience, I was assigned to DB Court in Kingston. I have seen cases that have a domestic violence component that did not go to through the CAC for whatever reason, and there are different outcomes. When it doesn't go through the CAC,
stayed with the municipality?
Yeah, if it stays with the municipality, so if there's, for example, I prosecuted recently an endangering the welfare of a child case, so that case, those children, when it's just through the municipality, might not get those upfront services that they might if it goes through the CAC. The other types of cases that go through the CAC are when a mandated reporter, for example, a teacher, a doctor, that will come through the CAC, and that way the prosecutor is there right from the get, basically, to be there for the forensic interview that takes place upon intake, essentially. And I have had the difficult, along with the two sheriff's employees that are around me, to be there for when those types of forensic interviews are taking place. It's one of the most difficult things I think our office and their office have to do. And, you know, this will at least ensure that Ulster County doesn't have this shortage. That's not an acceptable place to be. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Three, 4 years ago, I was saying, why don't we create positions? Why don't we have our own? Why do we keep? And they gave all these reasons that it was better back then. It didn't make sense to me. This makes more sense, and I feel good about what you guys are telling me. Just a quick side question. In our state, municipalities, because I've had constituents complain to me that they wanted the county. That's how what I ended up talking to Frank about. He explained to me, I can't. If Saugerties wants to keep this case, and that seems crazy to me that we have this set up, so much more funding, so much more, I mean, transparency when it comes to people worrying about a small town police station, people knowing each other, which is what I had complaints about, and they wanted, you know, a child's case handled, and Sinagra wouldn't give it up, and there's nothing you guys can do about that.
I mean, the home law enforcement agency can, you know, it does have the ability to keep the case.
That'd be a state level change for that, correct?
Yes, however, I do think that we're at the point now, we have a new Special Victims Bureau chief, that, you know, the cases are coming in where they need to. The other thing I will say, and I know there are some legislators here from the southern part of the county, those cases often just go straight to state police, which also is very well researched, yeah. Obviously. About a year and a half ago, we also now have a mobile unit. That's why I did reach out to the committee to see if they are interested in doing a site visit to the FCAC. It's over on Hurley Avenue, and that that invitation remains open. It doesn't have to be before. I think it's an important part of our function.
We did have several cases when I was assigned there that we would get information about through various sources, and between the collaboration between the DSS, the CPS worker, the law enforcement worker that assigned to the case, we would go out to the home rule case agents and be like, hey, I think you guys should, you know, do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
We didn't want to take over, but we would certainly lend assistance and guidance to where we thought. And that's the really big part about working with a prosecutor right there in that particular.
I just want to say, I think the reason why some of the PDs keep those cases, those are like simplistic cases where it's really cut and dry, it doesn't really require, could be a misdemeanor. I'm just saying, in some of the endangered welfare cases. And now where I think what's going on, and this is going on in Orange County as well, is that as the local PDs are short-staffed, they're hesitant to loan their officer or detective to the county agency for a year. And you talked about maybe, you know, being shortchanged in the end. But what does happen is when those when that personnel does go back to the local department,
they got a nice training.
Yes, it enhances the local department's ability to handle those kind of cases.
Sure. But we have this unit that we want them to hand it off to anyway. So I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if your department is very well staffed, could you lend inspectors to the sheriff's office?
If we had full staff at the CAC, would we lend an investigator to? I think we can't because.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
You know,
if it's legal.
The other thing is that. I think you have to be a deputy sheriff or hold a title within the sheriff's office in order to be an employee. Do we work collaboratively on investigations? Absolutely. So, you know, this isn't, notwithstanding Legislator Maloney's example, by and large, and, you know, some of us were at the, you know, Chiefs Association dinner, you know, some of those awards are for, you know, collaborative investigation. And actually one of the awards was for a crime against a child where it's Town of Ulster, it's the CAC, there's sheriff's personnel. So we work collaboratively, and I think that makes Ulster County unique. So while I don't think this DA investigator would be able to be lent to the sheriff's office, we work as a team. Obviously we are housed in different, you know, departments, but I, you know, think we work as a team, and actually physically some of our staff are located in the sheriff's office. That's where they're housed.
Last question. What is the salary, and do you plan on giving him a take-home vehicle?
The salary is the same as all of our DA investigators. Annual salary is $61,000. For 2024, we don't necessarily have take-home vehicles assigned to them. There are CAC investigators that have take-home vehicles so that they can go out if, should they need, but I don't think the plan is for these investigators to receive them. We don't have them in the budget.
Okay.
But, and they do have access to vehicles.
Yeah.
Okay, any other discussion or questions? So first I'm going to do a motion to amend the resolution as presented. The amounts were adjusted and revised. There just was a technical error, so that. Can I get a motion to amend the resolution as presented?
I will make the motion to amend the resolution as presented.
Second? Okay, all those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, resolution is carried. Did I do that right?
Another second one.
Yep, so now we're going to do a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution as amended.
Second? All those in favor? Did we get a second? No, we need a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And now the resolution is approved. Resolution 344, authorizing. Did you have to make sure she doesn't leave?
Yes. Well, Chair, did we skip 342?
Yeah, we did.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. We still put on 343.
I guess
I didn't catch.
Nope. It was an error, yes. So would you like us to do that one now or at the end? Would you like to?
Is that all that you have?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do
okay.
It now. So
Resolution 342, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute a certificate of assurance for a grant application to the United States Department of Justice, Office of Violence Against Women, for federal funding related to local law enforcement grants for the prosecution of cyber crimes. District Attorney's Office?
We are in the process of applying to the Department of Justice grant for the prosecution of cyber crimes. It's actually a collaboration. They highly encourage entities that were applying for this to look at their rural areas. So it's a collaboration between the Sheriff's Office, the Village of Ellenville Police Department, so we can focus on domestic violence crimes that are occurring in that geographic area. Creating a collaborative task force. We have a model for that with our Intimate Partner Violence and Prevention Task Force. And this would basically provide victims that are experiencing domestic violence with tools to protect themselves from the cybercrime element. So that means there's an order of protection, your abuser is contacting you via social media or other tools, calling you, et cetera. So, you know, giving them that additional protection while they're going through that unfortunate process. So the grant applications for the Department of Justice now require this that the public be able to comment on the application. So going through the resolution process accomplishes that. So we haven't received the grant yet. It is $500,000 over 3 years that would be split pursuant to a memorandum of agreement.
So, you know, the application is submitted. This is the one outstanding component that we need to comply with in order to meet the requirements.
Discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion.
Motion second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a good night. Resolution number 344, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter in an agreement with the Department of Justice for asset forfeiture, Ulster County Sheriff's Department. Undersheriff?
Good evening, Chair. So this is pretty much an agreement with the DOJ to allow us to, they'll hold funds if we have a federal investigation that we seize money or assets from. So pretty much it's an agreement with them so that way we can, they can hold either money or assets. And it's something that we've had for years and we almost have to if we're going to do any federal investigations.
Questions? Legislator Hewitt?
What happens to the assets after they're seized? Do they ever go back to the
The judge would make a decision on that, where the assets go. It's up to the judge. But if we have assets that are used in the commission of a crime, a felony, or whatever, then they would get seized. It would go to court, and the judge would decide on where the assets go. Sometimes they're given to the agencies to offset costs of personnel, vehicles, stuff like that. Sometimes it goes back to the suspect. Sometimes it's used for all different. It could be used for a lot of different things, but it's up to the judge to decide where it goes.
Any other questions or discussion?
We don't have the feds don't have an office down here, right?
Ulster County. As far as what agency?
FBI.
They are supposed to be having an office in law enforcement center, yes.
Are they going to?
Yes.
And do they share, is it the FBI that share, what investigative agency have I heard shares with the county that they're in, like 20 or 20% of whatever they capture? If they bust a drug dealer that's got $1 million in cash.
That's really any federal agency that we work with. So it could be Homeland Security, it could be the FBI, it could be the DEA.
So it'd be nice to have an agency down here and be a, and you get some money.
We currently do, yep.
The plans?
No, we have the agencies here now.
We have an FBI office here?
In our law enforcement center.
How many agents we have there?
Two.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, they're working with a drug task force currently, but yes.
Curious.
Any other questions or discussion? All right. Motion to accept the resolution. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't amend that one. Motion to adopt the resolution.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 345, requesting the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the town of Ulster for the use of Ulster Firearms Range, Ulster County Sheriff's.
So the town of Ulster, we have an agreement with the town of Ulster where we do our annual firearms recertification training at their range, which is where the fire training center is off Ulster County Road. It's just a yearly agreement that we have with them to use their range.
Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 346, requesting the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with SUNY Ulster for the use of classroom on campus, Ulster County Sheriff.
So SUNY Ulster and the Sheriff's Office have an agreement where we utilize a few rooms in the basement of Mary's Avenue campus for the wellness unit. Currently, we have two rooms that we use from them, and it's just a yearly agreement, MOU, with SUNY Ulster.
Discussion?
Yes. So that means it's new, because the wellness unit is new. You're going to be using it in a new way?
So, well, right now we have two rooms there. We're hoping to expand at some point, but right now, since it's newer, yes, we've had it. I think this is the first year we've had this agreement with them. Well, it's going into the, it would be going into the second. So, but yeah, when the wellness unit was first created, there wasn't many people working there, but now that we're creating it and making it bigger, there will be more people there.
Mayor?
Yes.
It sounds like it's in a basement, you said. Is it?
It's on the basement floor.
Does it make people feel good?
Is there
bright lights?
So.
Okay.
So the way SUNY Ulster Kingston Center is situated, mm-hmm. It's on the hill. It's the old campus. So you come in, it's still windows. It's not like your typical basement. You can actually, that's the ground level coming in, mm-hmm. And then there's another ground level above. So it's just how the building is structured.
I was picturing dark and dingy.
No, yeah, no.
The first floor. It's not a basement.
The first, right? First floor from the lower level.
Okay, any other discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion to move it.
Second?
Awesome.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 347, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to transfer title of an Ulster County Sheriff's Office Patrol boat to the Greene County Sheriff's Office. Ulster County Sheriff?
So if some of you may remember, we had an agreement with them where they were using the boat. We had an MOU in place. We decided to move forward with selling them the boat, so that way it's their boat moving forward. This is just an agreement to where we're going to transfer the title from us to Greene County.
Discussion or questions?
The way it was worded made me think it was just a transfer. Is there a financial transaction?
Yes, there is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I had a customer come in a couple months ago. Completely forgot about that too. In Lotto, he says, "You're looking into the vehicles. Find out why there's a county boat, wherever it was." He's like, "It's been sitting there." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." It didn't strike me as something.
That feels,
yeah.
Oh, because they were.
He must be up there and he keeps seeing a boat. I forgot.
Well, we do cover that part of the river.
We cover
from the Catskill Bridge to Uber Beacon.
I was wondering if there's an extra boat for legislative use that we can meet with Dutchess legislators on the river.
There's one in Greene County now.
Joe, can we review that in Fleet?
Probably.
We're gonna.
It's not a sinkhole boat.
Okay. Actually, I'm okay with the sinkhole.
You didn't check it.
Sounds nice.
Okay, motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 348. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $13,231.92, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County Visual Computer Solutions, Inc., Ulster County Sheriff.
So this is the program that we utilize to keep track of our scheduling. All of our deputies and corrections officers are on this scheduling system, and it adds up the payroll and sends it to the county at the end of the pay period. So it's pretty much a scheduling system that ties into the county payroll system.
Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution.
Make motion.
Second this.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 349, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with Ulster County Board of Cooperative Educational Services, BOCES, to provide two deputy sheriffs as school resource officers to three BOCES locations. Sheriff's office?
Lieutenant Story oversees our SRO program.
Excellent.
So currently we have, this is just an extension of the contract from previous years. Last year, BOCES increased it to two SROs, so they're going to continue with that. Basically, they're just reimbursing us for the two deputies that are assigned to the buildings.
Discussion or questions? All right. Motion to adopt the resolution.
Kids.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution 350, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Kingston City School District to provide a deputy sheriff as an SRO.
So same thing, we actually took this contract over from the town of Ulster last year because they were unable to fulfill their obligation. Once again, they're facing some staffing issues, so they've requested that we step in for the next school year and we'll provide a deputy sheriff to Miller.
Okay, discussion or questions?
Now,
There was a lot of chatter about the supervisor of the town of Ulster, something about testing, wanting to go out for a new list. Do you know anything about that?
Just general conversations with.
And that was at the point where the town of Ulster said, all right, well, we don't have enough police officers because we need a new list or something, but it was up to the county do you know anything about it?
So unfortunately, we're all having issues hiring new police officers, deputy sheriffs. That's really what it's after. They exhausted their residence list, and so, you know, they have other options, but that's neither here nor there. So they were able to get back up to full staff, and then just within the last month and a half, they lost their three midnight people to the city of Kingston. So now they're back down three police officers. So once again, provide them with an SRO for Miller.
You know, it's the same thing with these highway departments and stuff. Really, we should almost work with these municipalities to kind of set a rate across the board so we're not stealing from each other at least. And we need to be cognizant of what Dutchess and Orange are doing, especially with the jail. But that's sad to hear that one municipality is taken from the other. They need to just set the salaries the same or something.
Yeah, can I find a little bit more on the testing? So we serve as a agency for the municipalities. So we're the ones who are ordering those tests and offering those tests. As the tent story said, we have an active list. Town of Ulster likes to have members on their force or in the township. So that restricts the number of people that they can pull from that list. But it is an eligible list. They could pull other individuals off that list. But we understand the preference, again, to have local police officers.
That's what it's
about. Yeah.
Yeah, any other questions? Yes.
With some of the discussions we've had about school resource officers in the past, I just wanted to recommend continuation, correct me if this is happening already, more trainings on de-escalation, racial sensitivity. Are the school resource officers being trained consistently?
So they are. We actually are very fortunate here in Ulster County in that we, law enforcement executives, law enforcement officials, meet with the superintendents at least once a month. So we get a lot of feedback from them. One of the things that came out of one of those meetings last year was, hey, we'd really like the school resource officers to start attending our staff development days. So they're starting to get more and more above and beyond what our in-service training is for our deputies. I can't speak for the other municipal agencies, but we do have de-escalation, RBT training, specific training.
Great, thank you.
Absolutely.
Any other discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Second?
McCook.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Yeah, 351, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Onteora School, Central School District, to provide a deputy sheriff.
I'll make the motion to move it.
Okay. Second?
McCullough.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. And then 352 is authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the Roundout Valley Central School District to provide a deputy sheriff at the SRO.
Did we do Onteora?
We just did Onteora.
Oh, we just did.
Yep. Any questions, Maloney?
No.
Okay. So now we're doing Roundout Valley.
I would move that.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Well, okay. Yes, you can.
There's only one school district in Ulster County that has
schools. From the county or in jail?
No. So we handle the, obviously, the ones.
I think Saugerties gives
it. Saugerties does. The town of Saugerties provides one. Marlboro provides actually four or five SROs to the school district. Allenville. So there's only one in Ulster County that does not have a school resource officer assigned.
Can we guess?
I know.
On yours, there you go.
And would you see any noticeable differences there?
They just had a recent incident. That yeah. Now there's some discussion of them.
What school district is it?
Oh, it's in
yep, the only one. And I want to add the superintendent has been coming correct. To all of our meetings. Through superintendent as well.
He's reached out to me for some information. Yeah. Some community members who have also reached out to me for some information.
Okay.
I got four kids, and I want those officers.
In every job, there's good people and bad apples. Everybody's got to be weeded out. Cops, police officers are no different, but we have a guy over at 12 of these. I got a lot of customers that are teachers to stop by. I say so much about what they would bring off the move, or now I think he went to the civil division, so they told him, but out in Landau, they would bring him in before they would even bring some of the school psychologists and stuff, because he has such a rapport with the students. But
yeah, and if someone that, and I say this every year, that spent 20 years in education, our SROs are quite an asset to the school, truly. So
most of the people, Tracy needs to make a big thing. Most of the legislative developments that always make me, we have these deputies at the door guarding our meeting, and we're saying, and we have 3 or 4 legislators.
We have to vote on this. Don't go anywhere. Oh, we didn't vote on it yet. So,
I'll make the motion to move it.
Second?
McCullough.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Any new business?
You know, I just have a quick question. There was a, and I brought it up, but there was something hanging at the jail about somebody not being allowed to go through the back door or something. And what's the deal there?
Anything about?
Well, you had a sign hanging. I got a picture of it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like a policy that we don't allow somebody?
No, not that you don't allow them in, but something's changed. They have to go through the front like everyone else. Did they have special access granted at one point that was taken away?
Not that I know of, no.
Legislator Maloney, while you're looking for that,
Legislator McCullen had a question.
Oh, a couple of people called me, and it's regarding to sessions where people, they call it pat it down, but I don't think it's pat, I think it's the wand. They're complaining, when I say they, constituents, only a few, saying that they feel a certain type of way that they're being, they said everybody should be patted down, including us.
Under Sheriff, would you like to speak on that?
I'm sorry.
There's some constituents that feel that everyone should be patted down on session night, not just the people coming to sit in the public hearing.
Okay. Well, the
including legislators.
Yeah, including legislators. They say
the policy that the executive's office could probably make, and we could do it as long as it's not violating anyone's rights.
They could be us that make that.
Yeah. Or
no, just people calling in and saying.
It wouldn't be a policy of the sheriff's office. It would be a policy of either legislature or the exec's office, but if that's something you want to do, then we can just sit down and talk about it. But I don't see it being a problem as long as we're not violating anyone's rights.
And the concerns that were I'm just going to say the concerns that were brought up were about community members coming into the hearings. We have our ID badges on us as employees coming through. I don't know if Legislator Hanson wants to elaborate more. It's not patting down, it's simply a wanding.
Right.
We're being as, friendly as possible about it, less intrusive about it. Again, we are a sensitive location, so bringing in weapons, anything like that, is not allowable. But there were several concerns that were raised about some incidents that were happening, and that's when that was implemented. We could certainly look to have further discussions on it, though.
Mr. Maloney?
I think what you're after is people may feel a certain way. Anybody's capable of anything in theory, and people may say, well, those people don't, get it. We do. But I will say that if you go to a Met game, every employee that you see in the stadium probably didn't get patted down as they walked in, and then I get patted down because I don't work at Citi Field, and I'm going in. So, we could be overly sensitive to how everyone feels, and we can all get a pat me down too. But I think at the end of the day, when you work somewhere, there's a level of trust there, no matter where it is, from Yankee Stadium to this county office building. Employees don't usually get patted down. It's guests that are coming into the building that don't work there. So it's
if they are offended, you know, if anyone's offended, I don't know if they're offended when they go to a ball game or a fair or anything.
And that's why I did stress us, on, especially on session night, to wear your badge so that it's easily identified and also, you know, just in general, but to lay people that are coming in also. To just wear your badge. So
I want to ask a question because
that's fine.
People ask me, and
yeah.
I'm watching, they have their answer.
There you go. Yeah.
One thing we did discuss in the security meetings that we did have is putting a metal detector so everyone walks through it.
Okay.
We'd have to purchase one and have to set up some procedures and policies moving forward with it, but it's something that we can do. It's this policy that needs to be made, mm-hmm. and a discussion needs to be had.
Purchase it now, put the resolution up later.
I just wanted to mention, I heard a few people say that it's intimidating the way that we've upgraded the security, and it discourages people to come to public comment.
They are entitled to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm.
And I will say, adding on, during security meetings, we did discuss putting in the metal detector. The setup downstairs isn't really conducive for that, and that's where it's tricky. With those two entrances coming in, you would need two. In terms of security, being able to monitor both, it would be very difficult. So we did work with Securitas to get an updated camera system in the buildings that went through. You'll see that. But again,
and the wands.
And the wands.
Yeah, the metal detector wands.
But again, we can have more discussions as we move forward. Absolutely.
Any other discussion under new business? Old business?
Have the negotiation, that we haven't started, the UCSEA has not started negotiating yet?
I don't believe so.
We expect that to kick off after the salary study comes back.
Oh.
That's the way things we'll
see
the kickoff for that.
Speaking of salary study, when can we expect that?
So we did have a little bit of a delay in getting some of the comp data from the comparable counties and other municipalities that we're reaching out to. So we're a little bit delayed, but we still think we're on track. I can provide an update. I don't know the exact timeline on that right now.
Are we on a hiring freeze while we wait for that study?
No.
So something like the parks director could actually be hired before we get the study?
Ooh. In theory, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, any other old business? Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Everyone in favor?
Joe, you didn't want to second this
one?
Thank you, everyone.
No,
second or first.